I do like to drive. I really don't have as much to drive up myself. So we made this drive, and if I got tired, I just told them that they could stay in the car, but I needed to sleep, and sometimes they went to Starbucks. Sometimes they just bent out. But we went hard, and we got to New Mexico.
And then Arizona. And we went like 14 or 15 hours with, I think I had one nap, so that we could get close to the Grand Canyon. So we were in Winslow, Arizona. Got in late at night, well, at probably around 7 o'clock or so. Iska, do you remember what time we got in? Okay, good. Well, at least she won't refute me. Anyway, so we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon the next day, but I didn't have any idea what it would be like going to the south side of the Grand Canyon. So I wanted to check it out first so that we knew what we were doing. It had to be earlier than 7 o'clock because they didn't close, so it had to be earlier. Anyway, despite the fact that we'd driven a long ways, I decided to drive the hour and 45 minutes to get to the Grand Canyon and figure out what we were doing. And I said, do you girls want to come along? And they all said, no. You know, they're in a hotel, they have a pool. But because my youngest daughter, Iska, felt sorry for me and would not let me go unless she came with me, she left with me. So if you've ever been to the south side of the Grand Canyon, there's various different routes, but we went in an eastern route. And if you go in an eastern route, you really don't see the Grand Canyon, but you see all the tributaries that come off the Colorado River. So Iska and I were winding our way towards the Grand Canyon, and we stopped at this peninsula. When I say peninsula, that's really kind of talking in Wisconsin terms, you know, lakes and peninsulas. But basically, there was a place where you could park your car, and there was a cliff that jutted out in like a triangle. So we walked, got out of the car, walked to the end, and what I saw was the most unforgettable vision that I'd ever seen. Because unlike where you go to the populated parts of the Grand Canyon, this place, it was like totally unpopulated, and you could like walk right out and look straight down. And it was the most amazing view that I'd ever seen in my life. That is something that I will never forget. I was at, later on we went, we saw the big view, and the big, you know, like, okay, that's the Grand Canyon. Yeah, it's big and it's miles away. But this was like right up close. And it was real. I could touch it. So this morning, as we're talking about this passage of Scripture, I want you to kind of grab hold of something that you'll never forget and realize that whatever that is, it will be nothing like seeing Jesus and His glory. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son, or begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus reveals the very glory of God. Jesus reveals the glory of God. And I can't even explain glory. In the Old Testament, we have a word called Shekinah. It was not a tangible word. But the Israelites had the experience of the Shekinah glory of God. Both in the tent of meeting, coming out of the tent of meeting, out of the tabernacle. They got to see it from a distance. It would be like coming up to church this morning and going, whoa, I don't know if I can go in the building because there's something bright. And it's not a fire. There's something bright emanating from the building. I don't even know that I want to go through the doors. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? So, in just working this morning, we're going to talk about truth and grace. And it all begins with the Word of God that was begotten among us. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at this little diagram here. We're going to just walk through this morning, understanding truth and grace from the glory of God. Okay? So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to talk about truth and grace from this. Understanding grace and truth begins with understanding Jesus. And the grace and truth of Jesus emanates from His glory. So, if you have your Bibles open, in the beginning of John does this very well. So, in these first 18 verses of John, we have the potent word regarding the truth and the grace of the Father through Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or does not comprehend it. Now, notice all these words for the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So first we start with the word, 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 word. Then we have a pronoun, he, him, him, him. It's Jesus. The word was Jesus. Now, from a standpoint of understanding truth now, when we talk about truth, it is many times in our culture, even in the church, truth is a list of rules. Right? They're truths. And we have truths that we create. And we have truths that we have listed from Scripture. We even make declarations about truth because we have things like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who's the Holy Spirit? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart. All your mind, all your strength, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We have rules. But we can know those things without their purpose. And this really is the didactic of the law versus what? Grace. Yeah. Okay, so actually, what we're doing right now is we're defining truth. And here's how. So if I fill in the glory of Jesus and I fill in those statements in the chart that we just looked at, this is what we have. The glory of Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He's the only begotten of the Father. He is the Word that was God. He is the Word that was in the beginning. He's the Word that made all things. He's the Word who has life, which is the light. So, to step back, if we understand truth, truth is everything about what you need because God created you, and He is the one who has not the Energizer Bunny, but He has the vitality of the throne of God for you. Life. And that life comes from light. And that light is Jesus. Okay, so we're going to take all of this and we're going to put this in the idea of understanding truth. But let me make this statement first. Truth, am I backwards here? Truth truth is inextricably linked to the vitality or life that the Word of God desires for us. So you can't have truth unless you have life and you have light. So if you're having a conversation with somebody and you're going, you know what, you're doing something wrong. You should be in church on Sunday morning. Whatever. If in that conversation you get dissent, or you have all kinds of other conversations that may emanate from it, but in the middle of that, there isn't any light or life, it's not truth. Now, I said something like, okay, you need to be in church on Sunday morning. How about you should pray? I have a scripture for that. We should pray. Always, without ceasing. And if you have a conversation about that, and that conversation emanates to other conversations, but it does not include life and light, it's not truth. It's only a statement. So we are having a conversation regarding the book Messy Grace. In that book Messy Grace, we have a variety of conversations. And the conversations now are beginning in chapter 6 to talk about truth. What's true? What's true about sexuality? If you have the conversation and you have scripture behind you, it's not truth. It's not true, and it's not truth unless it includes the very vitality, light, and life of Jesus Christ in the throne of God. So you can make a statement that's true, but it will not include Jesus. You might think it would include Jesus, but it doesn't include Jesus. And here's my proof for that. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, and all who believed through him, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now this word, true, is a word that, it's an adjective, it describes the light, but that word in the Greek means real, genuine, or lastly, conform to truth. So everything that we can speak in a healthy manner has to be conformed to God and to Jesus Christ and the throne of God. Okay, get it? So truth is the true light, and the truth brings us the vitality, life from God, that we need. Jesus said this, "A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly and full." When you walk away from a conversation with a person, do you feel drained or do you feel energized? When someone walks away from a conversation with you, do they feel drained or do they feel energized? And when I say energized, we can make somebody feel good, like, oh, you know, for instance, we can tell somebody, oh, you look lovely today. Now, I should say that to my wife every day. But I know I'm in trouble when she asks me to say it to her. So giving a compliment needs to be sincere, genuine, and when we're talking about truth, speaking truth, it has to come from Jesus Christ, or it's not sincere or genuine. Now, I'm working on this, but here's the testimony. The testimony is if the person walks away from me and they've experienced something from God for the moment, and they're encouraged. And when I say they're encouraged, Jesus didn't always say something that made people feel good. He had people who walked away from him after listening to him. But the vitality of the throne of God was behind that challenge or that statement. So this isn't always comfortable. But if they walk away from a conversation being upset at you because of you, then it was all about you and it wasn't about Jesus. If they walk away from a conversation with you because they've actually had to confront the person of Jesus or the throne of God or the vitality of God, then that's a different story. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Okay? So I want to just add something in here that I want you to see. This isn't part of the sermon. This is jumping. This is kind of a bunny trail. But look at that verses 4 and 5. I don't want you to miss this. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, and darkness does not overcome it." See that? If you have the true light, then there will be no weight, there will be no height, there will be no depth of darkness that will overcome it or overwhelm it. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by darkness? This is what this statement is saying. That no matter how dark your experience is, if you have the true light, that darkness cannot overcome you or overwhelm you. This is a truth. Why is it a truth? Because this is why Scripture can talk about Jesus being light. So I don't know what you're walking through this morning, but this understanding, this visual of go in a black room and turn on a light, light wins. Always. Now I know that in your experience you might be thinking that darkness is winning. Darkness does not win. It can't win. The characteristics of darkness cannot take over the characteristics of light. And Jesus is the true light. If you have the true light, there is no weight, nor height, nor depth of darkness that will overwhelm it. And that is true. And I kind of use Romans 8 for that. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Okay, so we've talked about truth, we talked about what truth is, we've talked about how to talk about truth, how to have conversations that aren't separated from truth, and that's Jesus Christ. So now let me handle this other side of it. So we know the glory of Jesus is the Word that became flesh, the only begotten of the Father, the Word who has life, which is the light of all. So truth is linked to God's life, his light, his creative desire. Truth always brings us into restorative unity with God the Father, and this is always through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So truth is also our path and life. He is the ultimate battery because you are wired for Jesus. You're wired for Jesus. Okay? Now with that, just so you don't miss it, these are the things that Jesus said. Jesus said, "I'm the bread." Jesus said, "I am the door." Jesus said, "I'm the living water." Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Now, what's really interesting about this talking about grace, grace is only used, the word grace, charis, is only used one other time in the Gospels besides here in John. And that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, basically it says that this kid that was growing up had got grace on him. It wasn't even part of Jesus' ministry. So it's very important that John uses this word grace here. And so here we go. We're going to look at the glory of God, that visual that cannot be described. It is the glory of Jesus that we're looking at right now, the glory of the Father given to us through Jesus. And there is truth in him, the fullness of grace and truth. There's truth in him. We've talked about truth. But now, if you can look at the verses after verse 14, we'll see kind of what grace is about. It says, "For from his fullness," fullness of grace and truth, "we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I've talked about this several times. What's the definition of grace? What's the definition of mercy? Not receiving the punishment that I deserve. What's the definition of grace? Getting something I haven't earned. So think about all the things that we've talked about with grace. Oh, that's grace, or we've received grace. The ultimate, the actual ultimate, this is the nucleus of grace. Knowing God. You see, we don't deserve to know God. We have a God who created us. There is no reason why he should do anything that would have us know him. Grace can only be understood in terms of Jesus bringing us to a place of knowing him face to face. Now, I know this is kind of mind-boggling. So if we look at the glory of Jesus, who's full of grace and truth, we see everything about the truth of God come to us in vitality. So this is, yes, this is the law, but this is the law given to us in vitality, not in death. And then grace, this other part of it, is that we can know our God because of Jesus. So let's think about this. This is Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. We've all had to speak the truth in love at some time. Right? Speaking the truth in love is never from from God, if it leaves out these two things. It's never from God if it leaves out these two things. Number one, giving life through the light of Jesus. And number two, bringing someone to a place of knowing God. So it is always speaking the truth in love if it gives life through the light of Jesus. And it brings someone to a place of knowing God. Is that too simple? Jesus holds the glory of God in full capacity, enabling us to know and be known by God. So when I see Jesus, when you see Jesus face to face, when we see his glory, it will bring two things to us. The life of the throne of God and the fact that this is a God who desires for us to know him and be with him forever, dwelling with him. So, from a practical standpoint now, when we talk about experiencing the active presence of God, this is where all of this, when we talk about Scripture, when we receive the Word of God, this is for us to be nurtured so that we can experience His presence. And this is not the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God is everywhere. God was there when you had your worst argument. For me, God was there when I had my worst argument with my wife. For me, God was there when I had my worst argument with my children. He was still there. But His presence probably wasn't there. Get it? So, can we seek the active, manifest presence of God? This is what Jesus came to bring us. Grace and truth. Fullness of grace and truth. His glory. His glory. The vista, the panorama, everything that could not be described, that is Jesus coming to us to reveal everything about what we need to be healthy in our spirit and our soul, and everything we need to be able to experience Him. Like a husband experiences a wife. And a wife experiences a husband. So, I don't often do this, but I would like you to join me in prayer. So I don't want this to be emotional. So, and I will pray my prayer, but this is what I would like you to pray to the Lord, not to me, in silence, not out loud. Lord, I receive this wonderful gift that you have given me for me to taste of your glory through Jesus. Would you be willing to receive that? So, Lord, for me, Dale Rintelman, born Veterans Day, 1958. I receive. I open my hands and receive everything that you have given me to be able to be revitalized by your word, by Jesus, to be able to touch your glory because you have given Jesus to reveal your grace and your truth. And I receive this wonderful opportunity on this earth to experience your presence and to know you. So God, I don't want this knowledge to be what I learn. I want this knowledge to be intimate and powerful. Revive me. And Lord, as I have people in this congregation who have said this same prayer to you, revive us, because you have miraculously, by your Spirit, made us one. Thank you, Lord. We want to touch you. We want to know you. Would you answer our prayers?